Today, signals from the bond market front line. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, this post covering finance and property news. Something important is happening in the bond markets, which will impact us all. In short, all around the world, it seems investors are more reluctant to lend to governments over longer terms. Overall, bond investors are demanding more compensation to buy longer maturities, and not just for the US. Japanese and UK 30-year yields have also risen sharply this week, and Australia has followed along. The so-called bond vigilantes are starting to inflict some real pain, and they're not just coming for the US. By the way, a bond vigilante is a bond market investor who protests against monetary or fiscal policies considered inflationary by selling bonds, thus increasing yields. The term was coined by Ed Yudani in the 1980s to describe investors he said had sold off scores of Treasury bonds to protest Federal Reserve policies they deemed too inflationary. These influential traders aren't prowling dark alleys to take on the denizens of the investing underworld. Instead, they wield market power by selling government bonds en masse to drive up borrowing costs and force policy changes. So, if the fiscal and monetary authorities won't regulate the economy, the bond investors will. The economy will be run by vigilantes in the credit markets. The stirring of the so-called bond vigilantes marks a moment when enough investors decide that only by imposing higher borrowing costs will governments finally bow to the pressures and cut spending. It's a process that last played out in the US during the early stages of the Clinton administration in 1993 and, of course, in Europe after the financial crisis. The weapon of choice for bond vigilantes is the bond yield. Now, of course, bond prices and yields have an inverse relationship. When prices rise, yields of existing bonds automatically fall. When they fall, existing bond yields rise. This is because a bond's current yield is its coupon yield divided by its current market price. A bond's coupon rate doesn't change, so its current market price dictates its yield. Since it's difficult to prove that bond vigilantes have actually shifted markets, you might think of the term as a rhetorical device to bring attention to how the bond market would react if a given policy isn't retracted. Perhaps it's that bond vigilantism is more of an uncoordinated reaction to an economic policy than an intentional strategy followed by protesting bondholders. But on the other hand, Yardini has more than just neutrally characterized bond vigilantes. They serve as a crucial form of market discipline against what he views as unsustainable fiscal monetary policies, while Yardini tends to avoid aligning explicitly with authoritarian Republican and Democratic political agendas, his theory aligns with a neoliberal perspective that emphasizes market-driven constraints over government intervention. Well, certainly investors are sending a strong warning to Donald Trump and Congress about the dangers of a swelling deficit and pushing back against Trump's tax cut plan. Yields on 30-year treasuries rose as high as 5.1% on Wednesday, leaving them just shy of a two-decade high. Stocks also fell, by the way, amid concerns that Trump's tax cut plan will add trillions of dollars in coming years to already bulging budget deficits at a time when the appetite for US assets is waning. While it's tempting to blame the rise in the 30-year yields uniquely on the US and its squabbling politicians, other markets are seeing sell-offs too, and just as dramatically, if not more so, often thanks to their own local factors. Japan and the UK are both caught in the same momentum alongside Germany and even Australia, with the 30-year bonds up by 0.41% in Tokyo yesterday, 0.92% in Berlin, 2.16% in London, and 1.15% in Sydney. These are big moves, and are an important signal. The UK with the highest 30-year yield since 1997, and by the way, it's now higher than it was during the trust crisis, is explained perhaps partly by the resurgence in the Consumer Price Inflation Index in April, which was published on Wednesday, which came as a very significant and unpleasant surprise. Of the major economies, the UK looks to be the one with the realistic threat of stagflation, in my mind. Japan has broken to an all-time high too, although the Bank of Japan board member Ashiya Nakashi said on Thursday that the moves were indeed sudden, but he couldn't conclude that they were abnormal. There is the market's own judgment at play here, so I believe it would be inappropriate to intervene without reason and to attempt to manipulate the situation in any way. And Nakashi, a noted dove on the board, also said there's no need to make major changes to the bank's plans for tapering bond purchases, a remark that comes a month before authorities unveil new guidelines for bond buying in the period beyond April 2026. At the same time, inflation data is sticky, and data due out on Friday is expected to show that gains by consumer prices, excluding fresh food, accelerated in April to 3.4%. Now, if that did, that would be the fastest clip in 2 years. And that would extend the streak of at or above the Bank of Japan's targets to 3 years. Both UK and Japan actually saw bigger moves than the US yesterday, but all around the world, investors are more reluctant to lend to governments over longer terms. This is not just a situational question in my mind, but it's a structural question too. Bond maths means that rising yields for the longest issues inflict particular pain on those holding them. To illustrate that, the price of the Austria Century bond, not due to be paid out until 2120, has over the last 5 years fallen by 75% as its yield rose to 3% from 0.75% each. While current US Treasury yields between 4 and 5% are near devils that prevailed before 2007 and the financial crisis, and the US historically has paid far higher rates at times, debt and deficits now are exponentially bigger, and that makes it all the more difficult. Investor sentiment towards US Treasuries, which took a big hit after Moody's ratings stripped the US of its top credit grade last week, deteriorated further on Wednesday following an auction of 20-year bonds that drew surprisingly tepid demand. Germany has pivoted to large defence expenditure funded by higher government spending, and in both the UK and Australia, public sector debt continues to rise. The bond market is giving a warning sign to policymakers that fiscal sustainability issues cannot be ignored for too much longer, said Priya Misra, a portfolio manager at JPM Asset Management. It's not just the bond market, but now those fears are gripping risk sentiment and equities, and credit are also paying attention. Recall that last month Trump described the US bond market as yippy, as rising yields prodded him into delaying tariffs. Well, it's getting yippier now. There were good candidates to explain the nerves. Moody's downgrade announced last Friday actually has little practical effect, but it did dampen sentiment. Confidence was also shaken by negotiations in Congress over what is now officially named the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. On its face, the bill is pretty ugly, cutting services for the poor and using the savings to cut taxes mostly for the wealthy, even as the deficit rises. Inequality doesn't particularly bother bond investors, but the way legislators don't seem even to be trying to cut the deficit is a big problem. Much remains up for negotiation, but the outcome will almost certainly be bond negative. Conservative Republican lawmakers who oppose Trump's tax cut plans, with some taking to social media to point out that the bond slump and the message that it's sending. Representative Chip Roy, a Texas Republican and a ringleader in the fiscal hawks, noted a posting on X about the horrible bond auction, and separately, Warren Davison, an Ohio Republican, also highlighted a post on rising yields. Actually, on Wednesday night, House Republican leaders released a new version of the bill with a higher limit on the deduction for state and local taxes and other changes in a bid to win over warring GOP factions to support the legislation, but treasuries were little changed in Asia trading on Thursday. Now, of course, there are consequences, as higher debt costs means more taxpayer funds are required to pay the interest on the bonds. Usually, rising yields help a currency as they attract capital. But that hasn't happened this time, as the US dollar fell and gave up much ground that it had recently regained, a sign that the US is losing its status as a haven, even now that tariff anxiety is perhaps dissipating a little bit. The intensifying investor concern looms as a challenge for the US, which has taken full advantage of the dollar's status as the world's primary reserve currency through the decades, and it also reinforces the worst-case scenario painted by Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, who this month told US lawmakers that the nation's debt path was unsustainable. And he also indicated an awareness of the power of the bond vigilantes, adding, "It's very difficult to know the tipping point at which investors would, quote, rebel." So here it's worth noting that JP Morgan Chase & Co. Chief Jamie Dimon hasn't now ruled out the US economy falling into stagflation as the country faces huge risks from geopolitics, deficits, and price pressures. "I don't agree that we're in a sweet spot," he said in a Bloomberg television interview. He added that the US Federal Reserve is doing the right thing to wait and see before they decide on monetary policy. And he also added that the US has to attack the deficit problems. And he also understands why investors may be cutting US dollar assets. "I don't worry about short-term fluctuations in the dollar," Dimon said, "but I do understand people might be reducing dollar assets." Of course, high yields are good for some, namely pension fund managers and their pensioners. High yields make it cheaper for defined benefit plans to fund the guarantees that they've made to savers and mitigate falling equity prices. As the consulting actuary Mercer shows, in this chart, corporate pensions run by the S&P 1500 companies are now fully funded, meaning that their assets are worth more than their liabilities. Back in 2019, they were staring at a deficit of more than 20%. Given the yields signal higher risks, perhaps it's no surprise then that both gold and Bitcoin went higher, with Bitcoin reaching a new all-time high. There's no telling how far crypto could go, and Bitcoin's rally, it's gradually waking up altcoins too, though they're still far below mostly their previous highs. But these signals are flashing red and underscoring that the financial system is under significant strain and the root cause is too much government debt. So far, there is little appetite from our politicians to tackle this elephant in the room, so the bond vigilantes are likely to press long-term yields still higher. However, this leads to higher inflation and probably stagflation, which will once again hit ordinary businesses and households hard. And more rate cuts would be likely off the table too. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.